You're listening to Skewing the Waves on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Matthew Stinnis speaking. I'll be with you for the next hour. For today's show, I'll be sharing the airwaves with solo ambient dream pop artist Lindsay Alguire. We will be playing some of our favorite tracks from recent ambient music releases. Lindsay's about to put out a new tape titled The Night Is In My Mouth, so keep your eye out for that. We're going to get started, so hope you enjoy the show. Stay locked on CKUT.
Thank you. Red alert. The spread of COVID-19 is at a critical level in your area or a neighboring region. Getting together with family or friends is prohibited, and traveling to other regions is not recommended. More targeted restrictions have been put into place to limit the spread and prevent a lockdown. Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Continue to wash your hands, keep a 2-meter distance, and wear a mask when physical distancing is impossible. We need to act now. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Surfing against that sun as if off a great wave, but in the wrong direction. Certainly the wave is frozen. We're just moving so slowly that no one can know if you've done it, though. You know the feeling, it's all downhill from here, love. The hard part is over. The gold is inside El Dorado, end of C1.
Make camp in bedrooms of friends just until we find a place of our own. A 3-year-old car and a U-Haul loaded with junk. Another caravan to see America. End of scene 2. It's getting dark now. Let's jump in the car and run over and look at the place. This is where we're going to work. This is where we're going to live. Let's drive over and look at a quick, big mistake. We should have come in the daytime. We should have come on a weekday. I didn't get this till later. Smack into it. The worst time of day, worst day of the year. Well, smack into it. Leftover dreams. The back gate of the college. Remember the back gate part? Later they closed it forever. It was, how shall I say this? It was too dangerous.
The layout is stupidly simple. An iron gate and a road that goes straight ahead, slightly uphill and to the right.
We pass the dead fountain and the shingle names.
We are into the trees of Wake Wooded area.
About 200 yards, the whole thing.
Then you come out in the campus. A stop sign across street, a strong smell.
Eucalyptus screaming from the far east on the street.
I can't even describe how dumb this is.
On the right there is a square building in the shadows. On the left and just behind is a faculty village.
So cold, how nice, hidden in trees.
We pass because it's hidden seeing. Now here's the hard part. Pause, something happened here once, and it is still here. We just drove through it, scared to the teeth.
Hands off, whiny. Nobody says a word.
The new world, we're gonna work here.
Starting tomorrow with the presence of this thing.
My heart turns to stone. I have become one of those explorers long gone now. Led his men and women through all kinds of dangers. Laughing drugs to El Dorado.
Then suddenly, you're in the heart of it. Before you know that it's happened.
You are there with a common knowledge that you are in trouble.
MSN and I are in trouble. This place is haunted. End of scene 3.
We're playing the studio variant of the building.
I don't like the building at all. Somehow the layering is blurred. Even now I couldn't tell you.
After 1,000 times up and down,
whether the studio is floor 2 or 3, the confusion is right there, a part of it. To explain, I'll tell a story naturally. Medical students can turn into ideas, I know this. 6 months in the private skin, so-called.
You go around with Trapper John, M.D. Notebook ready, deciding what possibly could be wrong.
People who are simply dying in bed. Then 6 months in the public skin, so-called. Emergency entrance first floor, holes off the tiles again. Another guy just came without an arm.
The skin is the so-called soul. In other words, that thing you read about them looking for centuries.
It's right there in front of you to see the soul. It's not a bag you're inside of. You know that, of course. It follows the body, keeping some distance. And it is indifferent.
All knowledge comes through it.
It transmits, receives, and reveals. A flaw in the structure of the skin will reveal it. And a flaw in the structure of the skin can protect it. And it follows from this, like 1 and 2 equals 3. A break in the skin lets in spirits. I'll say it again, a break in the skin lets in spirits. Say it with
episode 4, 5, 4, we'll come back.
I go to the dentist week after week after week. The bad genes have finally caught up with me. I forgot to say this is years later. The 4 of us hopelessly lost from each other. I live in a shitty apartment.
near to the back gate, unfortunately.
Now I have to cross that place on foot when I have the courage which comes and goes to pick up bread and some vodka for dinner back at the shitty apartment alone. But I've learned something now to explain. When the skin is violated, the spirits come visiting. I'll say that again, the spirits come visiting.
You go to a dentist, he cuts a hole in you.
That night and until it heals, the spirits come visiting. I can't say it to make it sound civilized. It's something you wouldn't notice, maybe if the skin violations were infrequent. You mostly forget in between times.
But when the schedule gets heavy,
when the tearing and the healing overlap and you are aware of the holes in you, the condition they're in, that's when you learn it, the spirits come visiting. And you start paying attention to where you have chosen to live.
Segue back to scene four, working late to studio.
The building itself scares the shit out of me. It was designed to have holes in it. Jesus designed to be violated. Daytimes, you can tell daytimes. It is as beautiful as an old woman in makeup. Night times, watch out, my office, oh Jesus.
A place to keep things you don't want at home.
It's on the far other end of the building also. I don't know what floor it's on. 10 years and I don't know what floor it's on. Where I keep stuff I work with so as
to unclutter the studio, to make room for people who don't have an office. Green studio and office, there are two ways to get there at, say, 3 in the morning. One way is down, outside, across, and up. That's a long walk at, say, 3 in the morning. The other is straight through the building, straight through the back of the concert hall, across the very back row. Hope the exit sign is working.
Night in question, I made 4 trips, each one a little more weird than the last. Full-grown man, each more weird than the last. Finally, I can't do it. I have to admit, I'm afraid. I am afraid to go through there.
That's the only way I can say it. I am afraid to go through there.
Not afraid of the dark. Not afraid of the silence. Just afraid. End of scene 4, El Dorado, scene 5. I have to get out of this shitty apartment. It's starting to follow me home.
To finish it with scene 5, everything's different. Broken change, however you want to think about it.
The four of us who came through the back gate years ago, 40 miles away, him trying to survive.
I don't know where S is, living on the street, I guess, waiting for a broken heart to mend.
I see N almost every day, but I know he strains to keep trusting me. Something has happened that nobody understands.
The dog is dead, of course, the red car is gone. It started to be accident prone.
F says it's just cosmetic. I say everything's cosmetic. It's gotta go, I pay a guy to take it.
So for the first time in my life, I walk or take a bus. If the distance is too great, this is scene 5.
In order to get something to take home at night,
vodka and a loaf of bread, I have to walk through the place.
I mean the place between the building on the right, at the cross street and the village so-called, hidden in the trees, and that's the problem. Something happened here once and it's still here, except that now it follows me home at night. It hangs around, vodka, bread, vegetables, lots of soy sauce, read a lot of Velikovsky, he's onto something. Everybody hates him, even his detractors.
Science gone bananas in the academy, or else he couldn't write that well, his detractors. Write like high school seniors editing the paper. He writes ideas, fuck your approval, that has its charms.
And besides, you never know when a colleague might need an idea for an opera. Velikovsky and the guy I know live next door to each other.
I bet I couldn't tell them apart. A pariah and a Brahmin equally contagious.
How's the wife and kids, Emmanuel? Pretty good, Albert. How's the dog?
What do you hear from science?
Nothing much, I think it's dead. Gotcha about technology, it'll be the death of us, I think.
Sorry about that, Avon,
that's okay, it wasn't your fault. Besides, the circle's only half completed.
Violins at twilight, two old guys arguing with Moses. What was that? Oh shit, it's still here.
It followed me home again. It prowls around the bedroom.
I fall asleep in the plastic chair, end of scene 5. This is difficult terrain, hillbilly madness. Middle-aged man lives alone in a shit apartment.
Across the courtyard, a woman with artificial larynx.
Down below, the neighbor has a bar self standing. And he plays disco records until late hours. Down to Summer and Al Green, without the words, just strong beats. End of scene 6, this one's for Carl. Welcome to El Dorado, a man is seated at his desk.
Looking over his shoulder, we see a telephone cradled to his ear. He's calling someone.
It rings on the other end. Answer. Hello, Scorpio. This is Phone Future.
Today's another big one. You might get killed.
Save for a big project or a big investment.
Take care on short-term gratifiers. Take care on instant pleasure, etc.
He mocks the phone voice. We see him. Apply something to his teeth or gums.
We look down on a plate of cocaine, tongue-tied so you don't go out the window.
Enter his secretary, Emil.
The senators are here, guns, the blue is ready.
Okay, I'll be there in a minute.
End of scene 7.
The laboratory doesn't show you what it does. Cleanliness is next to godliness, so everything is clean.
Science without test tubes, so nobody's dissecting rats here. Notice how pale, how green the light is. Notice too how comfortable senators behave in the expensive leather chairs.
Notice how closely they pay attention.
Notice how the temperature of the coffee is exactly right.
Notice that there are no women. This is a secret meeting.
Don makes a few casual remarks.
Others have been there, nothing horrible, of course.
We've just finished the delivery stage.
The report's very encouraging,
though this is very different from what has gone before.
One could call it,
except for the poetry, another realm.
We don't know in any way what it could be good for.
What is proposed is simply that we follow through in the circumstances.
We should expect no publicity to speak of. We could call it trivial for the moment.
Who knows, maybe it will come to nothing. Possibly I will not come back, etc.
A senator philosophizes on the value of uncommitted research. End of scene 8.
Don and his secretary discuss the demonstration tool.
Very successful.
Research will continue. Support King in the form of handshakes.
Don is off tomorrow to well-deserved vacation.
Southwest car tour, sightseeing, rock hunting, family rest.
He might not come back.
End of scene 9.
Don considers his options while Linda's in the bedroom.
This kind of research is full of problems, social.
You can't see what you are seeing until afterward. The delay effect and what is called understanding. So we watch sports.
Try to get the idea of stop thinking old style, to stop thinking, hopefully the term is used right at all. Stop thinking, for instance, and insert in the form of a joke the requirements to recount the story, tell what happened, make it interesting. Imagine here an old school laboratory.
There is, of course, the anomaly that is unsolvable. When someone of you comes up with the answer, it's a Nobel Prize. I'll make it short, the British deny any practice of oral sex. Researchers have thrown themselves against the rocks of intimacy since Kinsey and before, trying to crack the story. The National Enquirer offers a fortune for the answer. Pardon me, I mean between the sexes, this fact. If it can be called that, then from Elizabeth Astray until approximately Margaret Thatcher, nobody ever took a bath.
The evidence is pretty solid, coinciding with what they deny is made for a stock answer in three parts. In order to get a Nobel Prize, you have to get by stock answers, which are accompanied by stock characters.
For instance, imagine the smartest guy at Harvard he was raised on. Portnoy's complaint, you mention this whole problem to him.
This is what you get, one, obviously they're lying.
That shouldn't surprise you, the British has distinct from the Irish.
Like the Scots, almost unique among cultures of the world.
We can't get into name calling here.
Hit made in national culture, famous everywhere based on deceit.
The evidence is all over, nobody cares, of course.
God doesn't care, and everybody down here knows it, so there's no problem, but it is amazing. Who would have thought it?
Who else would have invented theater, remember?
That in many cultures around the world,
John le Carré is inconceivable, very British.
Two, who gives a shit? Three, they might be telling the truth, in which case, who could blame them? All the world's people revel in oral sex.
We had to stop asking the question, except the British. We don't do it. Okay, don't do it. We know why. Nobody takes a bath. Jane Austen didn't take a bath. She wrote her ass off, but she didn't take a bath. Mr. Darcy never took a bath. Disraeli never took a bath. The whole place smelled of high heaven. Whole cults jumped on boats to the New World. They knew something was amiss. Charles Dickens never took a bath until he met Mark Twain, who kidded him so bad about stinking that he took a bath. He hadn't seen his own legs in 50 years.